Whatever debts you may be piling up this holiday season, you can at least feel reassured that you are not borrowing as much as the federal government. The U.S. ran a budget deficit of $374 billion in the last fiscal year. In the new fiscal year that started in October, congressional forecasters predict that spending may exceed tax revenues by close to $500 billion. Just a few years ago, the U.S. was running a surplus that President Bush was promising to spend on tax cuts, education, Social Security reform, and more. This week, altered circumstances forced the president to speak of a more modest goal, cutting the deficit in half over 5 years.
It's a plan that depends upon Congress to continue to hold the line on spending. We have a deficit because of, one, a recession, two, a war. I want to remind you all that in order to fight and win the war, it requires a expenditure of money that is commiserate with keeping a promise to our troops to make sure that they're well-paid, well-trained, well-equipped.
To understand what the deficit really means, we called Tim Taylor, who's the managing editor of the Journal of Economic Perspectives. Taylor says that in the short term, deficit spending pumps extra money into the economy. The problem comes when the U.S. runs deficits year after year.
In the long term, if we continue this pattern of large budget deficits, then it can injure the economic growth of the economy, it can help push up inflation, it can cause a number of economic consequences.
Now, the president blames the recession and the war for the deficit. Is that an accurate explanation for why there is such a large deficit?
It's partially accurate, certainly. Another cause would be the tax cuts the president advocated in 2001, and then there were another round of tax cuts passed this year in 2003.
So if we were going to draw an analogy between the average consumer and the federal government, is this a consumer who's just falling behind a little bit on his house payments, or is this somebody that is just wildly spending on his credit card and maxing it to the limit?
Well, I think it's always a matter of time. Almost anyone who starts off in a fundamentally financially healthy situation as a consumer can borrow quite a lot of money in a couple of years without getting into too much trouble. For example, the first time anyone buys a home, you go massively into debt, you know, beyond your wildest dreams. And that's okay as long as you do it once. I would say so far the U.S. economy is kind of in the position of someone who's bought one big expensive home. The debts are real, they're large, they're rising. But the real problems are often the future, not things that have already happened. What's really worrisome to me is that when I look out at the federal budget picture 15 or 20 years from now, I know that we're going to have enormous stress on the federal budget from paying the expenses for Social Security and Medicare. And the hope in the late 1990s, when we had budget surpluses for a few years, is that we could run surpluses for a while and then we would be prepared when that time came. But the way things are headed right now, it seems just as likely that we're going to have budget deficits just straight through. And at some point, that becomes an unsustainable pattern.
Tim Taylor says an improving economy could reduce the deficit over the next few years. But some analysts expect government policies to make the problem worse. The recent tax cuts were temporary, but pressure is building to make them permanent. The people watching What Happens Next include Ed McKelvey, who's a senior economist at Goldman Sachs. From his perch at that Wall Street firm, he's noticed that the government is scheduling more bond auctions at which the Treasury Department entices investors to loan the government money. McKelvey does not expect the borrowing to stop.
Well, this is where you really have a problem, because in most of the earlier cycles, you've hit a peak and then the deficit has gradually come down. That's a difficult projection to make this time around, given prospects for renewal of all those tax sunset provisions, or I should say extension of them, and the defense spending that we have, and the approaching baby boom retirement period.
Is there a positive effect on the economy from so much government spending?
Well, I think we do want to recognize that when the economy was weakening and the bubble in the stock market was bursting, it was appropriate to use fiscal stimulus, whether through tax reduction or through expenditure increases or both. So in that sense, there's been a positive effect, and we should recognize that. The problem is that we don't have any mechanism in place right now to peel away that stimulus when the economy no longer needs it.
You've been there 17 years, right, at Goldman Sachs?
That's correct.
Which means that you remember the times when there were big deficits at the end of the 1980s and into the early 1990s.
That's right.
Was there any kind of a revolt on Wall Street against the size of the deficits then?
I don't know that you would characterize it as a revolt, but there certainly was a lot of concern, and in fact, the deficit was one of the issues that was thought to have caused or helped cause the stock market crash in 1987. And for a period of years, the federal government was responding to expressions of concern in Wall Street through the so-called Graham-Rudman mechanism, which did not work, and then later through a set of rules called pay-as-you-go that worked fabulously.
These were efforts to force the government to restrict spending and keep it somewhere near the level of tax revenues coming in.
Yes, precisely what they did was they made it illegal, if you will, to legislate any laws that increased the size of the deficit, at least on initial estimates. So if the deficit widened because the economy got weak, that was okay. But if the deficit widened because you passed a bill that was not self-financing, that was not okay.
Those rules are still in effect, aren't they?
No, those rules have actually been allowed to expire, and that's one of the problems. It's a bit like a chronic condition where you get the doctor to come in and the doctor prescribes medicine, the symptoms go away, and then you send the doctor away, but the symptoms are really still there, and they come back, and that's where we are right now.
The patient stops taking the medication?
That's exactly right.
And is anybody making sincere efforts to cut the deficit as opposed to just scoring some rhetorical points?
No. Very simple answer.
Ed McKelvey is a senior economist at Goldman Sachs in New York. Mr. McKelvey, thanks very much.
Thank you.